Hey, everybody, and welcome back, Issues, the only podcast so good we had to freaking reboot it already, guys. We're going to be having some killer...
Oh, my God, we're at DC.
Yeah, it's going to be killer. I mean, we got, new entrance music, because, we got to have that big show feel. But, yeah.
So, would this basically be, like, our new 52?
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. The new permanent cast of Back Issues, which is your host, me, Jason... John and Dick.
Yeah.
Hello.
First episode of a new era, guys, and we picked a really good one, I think. God. Original print was in Marvel Presents numbers... 72 through 84, if I remember correctly. Yep. Written and drawn by Barry Windsor Smith. I can never remember his name. He did the Conan stuff for Marvel back when. That was always some very solid work. But we're going to be talking Weapon X, the Wolverine origin story. Well, first thing that really struck me about it, guys, other than obviously the story, was I'd never read any Marvel Comics Presents and how they, did the split issue anthology. I knew it threw you off, Dick.
Yeah, that threw me off the first time I went to go read. I kept reading through and I was like, whoa, this is a really weird storyline. Why is there so many heroes in this? And then I realized, oh.
why did I read that?
But it's definitely interesting seeing all the different various storylines running along, and it's a cool way to get a lot of different stories out, just to, allow more of the characters to be shown off, and I think it's really cool. I didn't know that they did this at all, perfectly honest.
Well, there's a couple other publishers that do anthology series. Vertigo did for a time, Dark Horse Presents, you see it more with smaller publishers. Now, obviously, Marvel's ended way long time ago.
I believe Boom Studios currently do. I say a really good anthology, and it really kind of gets me thinking that I really would like to see this kind of thing in the big two again, because it felt like a throwback, even though they're still doing it these days. It felt like it's, this is from the 90s or from the late 80s or whatever. But, as I say, they're still doing it, even though the DC and Marvel aren't anymore. I think they should get back into doing it.
Yeah, because it was a good way to tell, stories that were out of the normal. If you wanted to take a character like Spider-Man and do a twist on him, have him fight somebody he wouldn't normally fight, or have some little just out of the sidebar kind of story, you'd go to Marvel Comics Presents.
Yeah, it's almost like an Elseworlds, but in the mainstream universe.
Yeah, it's hard to say off the beaten path, because in the end it still is superhero comics. But, they're the stories you wouldn't see in a main, volume comic.
Yeah, something you can do just, if you don't need a full issue to tell.
Yeah.
Do it in, four or five anthologies. And yeah, it's a great way to tell a story, I think. Particularly for something like Weapon X, who is the subject of today's issue.
Yeah, this is back when Wolverine was first captured by Weapon X and prepared for the adamantium bonding process. It's funny because they don't seem to realize at first that Logan is a mutant, and then even when the professor realizes it, his associate Cornelius still has no idea what a mutant is. So this is the early days of the mutant era, so to speak. But, they wipe Logan's mind, bond adamantium to it, and then they find out he has the claws. And they're, you know, setting up to wipe his mind and use him as a drone, basically. But there's some very graphic parts to that that are actually really cool, and we'll get to that. But they go, you know, they try to dehumanize Logan, wipe his mind, set him up to be the killing machine they really wanted. Except for, you know, Wolverine. Well, he's not even Wolverine at that point. Logan comes to try to start breaking his own conditioning, because he knows it's wrong, knows that's, you know, not who he is, etc. But he's very, you know, he's an animal at the time. He kills every freaking soldier there, except for one, who actually becomes a main character of a series 20 years later. And goes off into the wild. I mean, it's not a very story-heavy storyline. It can be summed up pretty briefly. But it's still, you know, it was still a good amount of pages.
It's actually one of the few things that the X-Men movies has been pretty faithful towards, is the process of how Wolverine came to have his adamantium skeleton. Outside of it, you know, before and after, that's when the movies really heavily diverge.
Yeah.
From the storyline. But the actual, like, meat of it, from him going into the Weapon X program, in the actual comic, he was kidnapped.
Yeah.
Used all the experimentation until him breaking out of it. That's actually pretty similar to the movie versions. Which I actually watched X-Men Origins Wolverine in preparation for this, which I'll come to later. But yes, suffice to say, the Weapon X of the comic book was significantly better than X-Men Origins Wolverine. Shocker.
Yeah. But yeah, Dick, what'd you think?
Overall, this storyline was really interesting to me because I've always known how Logan became Wolverine. That I haven't seen Origins, but I've always kind of known that because I have a lot of friends around me that are into comic books here in Seattle, and you know, that's something that comes up a lot. You know, the whole Weapon X thing, and I've never actually went and read it. And the way that it's told in the comic form, it's better than you could do with a movie. It almost lends itself to being a comic book, only because of how it's boring to watch someone float in soup, you know? But it's interesting to watch someone float in soup while you get a whole bunch of backstory that's exposed really well, and the pacing is a lot better, too. Like it's this present sort of format that lends itself to, in a way, because of the way that it's broken up into chunks. The way that the story flows from each of the issues is perfect. It's a perfect amount of story, and it fills a nice little niche. And it does a great job of showing just the carnage as well. Like, the art is great. That's what I love about it as well, is they didn't cheap out on the art or anything. You know, it's not some B-tier artist or something doing something. It's someone with a good story, with a good art and great inking, and it looks good. It looks good. The story is on point. It's brutal, too. It shows you just how much, you know, raw power and anger Wolverine has, which is in a very important and key aspect of his character for a very long time throughout a lot of different story arcs for him, just in general. You know, watching even the cartoon, you know, on Saturday mornings, he was angry all the fucking time, you know? So yeah. It's like, it's part of a key aspect of Logan, and this really shows you why he's so fucking mad. And I didn't know that there was all that gnarly shit coming off of his bones and shit. That's gotta hurt like a motherfucker.
Oh, it's not coming off his bones. Those are implants.
Oh, those are implants. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that they were like jagged bits coming off of the adamantium from his bones. Okay, my bad. See, that makes it a little bit better, but not really.
At least I think they're supposed to be implants. I'd put it this way. If there were jagged spikes of adamantium, he'd always have that. And you see him without his clothes on all the damn time in the comics, and he never has them sticking out. So.
Fair.
It was either something Weapon X put in him, or something that was later retconned out of existence.
Probably,
implants. I'm thinking it's something to go with all the wires and that big gnarly helmet he's got, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, can we just take a second and talk about that fucking helmet?
Yeah, that is probably the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Ever. It's really dumb looking.
Well, no, it's so it's so quintessentially 90s, though.
Oh, no, definitely it is.
It's bulky, it's overblown, 90% of it seems to have no actual fucking use.
It's RoboCop.
And it's got, you know, the fucking visor like Cyclops. It's like, what the fuck was Barry Windsor Smith thinking with this helmet? It just does not work.
I think it, like, for the storyline, it actually really suits it. Because they make a point as to say, like, the helmet is basically for his mental conditioning. It's got all these, like, feedback loops and these, programs going into his head to control what he's thinking.
Like that.
To control how he's acting. But they make a point of mentioning in the story that this is, like, heavy shit, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, really uncomfortable. It's really inefficient. It's not designed well. It's just, they've just stuck shit on it because it works and it's quick.
Yeah.
But they don't care if it affects him. And that, like, is why it looks like shit. Because it's just, like, it's the most uncomfortable, unwieldy, heavy,
ad hoc.
Exactly. Pointless fucking thing. Which, it serves a lot to the story. It's like, a couple of issues ago, we talked about Wii 3.
Yeah.
And this is actually a really, really good sort of parallel to that storyline. In Wii 3, they took three animals and made them into weapons. This is the same story. They just take a mutant and make it into a weapon.
That you bring that up, it puts a whole new weight to the story.
Yeah. I think it's because I read Wii 3 really sort of close to this.
Yeah.
Weapon X again. There were so many parallels between that and this, in that it's a load of scientists trying to make a weapon, and they don't give a fuck about what's underneath it. As long as they get good results out of it, then it doesn't matter what pain and what suffering they go through. I actually think that Logan in this goes through a lot more than the animals do in Wii 3, because he's essentially a human, you know, is a homo superior, they call it in the comic.
Yeah.
In that he can actually, he's got thoughts, he's got a life, he can process what's happening to him. He can kind of, even though he's going through this surgery, he's like having his skin held open where his claws come out. He's fully conscious of what's going on while they're operating on him, and he can feel everything they're doing. Can't say, oh, stop doing that to me. He can't react, but he can feel everything that's happening. And they go into really graphic details about what's going on there.
They show what's Wolverine's thinking at the time on a video screen.
Yeah.
And he's thinking about killing the professor.
Yeah, that comes up a lot. Like, that's entirely what Wolverine would be thinking at that
yeah.
point. If you're familiar with this, that's like, oh yeah, of course he's thinking that.
Now, Dick.
Yes.
Remember back when we had Fetus Barry on and I did 7 Degrees of Deadpool?
Yes.
I'm about to blow your mind in a similar way.
Okay.
You remember when Cornelius was talking to an unseen figure on the computer?
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, looked to be the benefactor of Weapon X?
Yes.
Originally, it was supposed to be Apocalypse.
Oh, shit.
I read that, I think it was on Comic Book Resources, Comic Legends Revealed. I believe is where I read that. Or Damn. It was... I don't... Put it this way. It's been rumored... I don't remember if that particular legend came out true or not, but at one point it was said to be Apocalypse. And the one guard that Wolverine did not kill, Back in, I think it was, it might have been 99 or so, or early 2000s, Marvel published a comic called Weapon X that was the continuation of the Weapon X experiments. And the director of it was the last guard that he left standing.
Oh, shit. Well, damn, that's like one degree of separation then.
Yeah, well, still, it's more one of those, here's the random comic trivia I can pull out of my ass right now.
That's crazy, dude. Wow.
If I may expand on it as well a little bit.
Yeah.
This is slightly more well known amongst comic, you know, people who are a fan of Marvel and stuff, because they actually integrated it into mainstream continuity. Weapon X eventually was, it was kind of a retcon, but they eventually made that mean Weapon 10,
yep,
as opposed to Weapon X.
The entire Weapon Plus.
Yeah, absolutely. Weapon 1, the original Weapon, was actually Captain America.
Yep.
And the Weapon X program was basically an attempt to recreate Captain America, first by experimenting on black people, and then by experimenting on people with cybernetic enhancements, and then eventually getting up to Weapon X, which is experimenting on mutants. And that's where Lady Deathstrike came from, and X-23, who's a female clone of Wolverine as well. So this story actually became really significant in not only Wolverine's backstory and history, but also in Marvel's continuity as well.
Yep. Oh god, there so many of the Weapon Plus experiments are big name. Like, Phantom X, you know, was one of them. He was a major, he still is a major X-Men character. Like, I'm pulling up the, here it is. Like, there was Weapon Zero, which was pre, Captain America. And it got split up. And then Weapon One, technically there are two Weapon Ones, Captain America and Isaiah Bradley.
Isaiah Bradley is the only African-American, basically experimentation, who survived the process of trying to become a super soldier.
Yep. Weapon 2 was a modified squirrel with the ability similar to Wolverine, which is kind of stupid.
That'd be kind of terrifying, though.
Yeah.
Team Squirrel.
Yeah. I mean, Weapon 7 is Nuke, who is a major character in Captain America. So there, you know, there's a lot of Weapon Plus backstory that not only weaves through Wolverine and the X-Men, but all throughout Marvel. And at one point, it was supposed to be headed by Apocalypse.
Which, as I think you said just before we started recording, Jason, that would totally make sense.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if he's recruiting for his four horsemen. Apocalypse always has his like four heralds, which are four horsemen of the Apocalypse. If you've seen the recent movie... I'm so sorry that you saw that movie, but yeah, he'd be recruiting basically. You know, imagine getting Wolverine as his death, but then having him with this adamantium skeleton and these claws and this rage that came out. But it totally makes sense that Apocalypse would do something like this.
Yeah, I'm still trying to find that to see, you know, was it true or not, but. I get tied up in so much fucking stuff about the movies that it's just like, fuck it.
it's totally believable, and I wouldn't have any sort of objection to him to him doing it. But yeah, if just taking it back to the actual comic itself, I thought it was great. I loved it. It's something I haven't read in a good few years. I think it came out in 1991.
Yep,
and I didn't read it until like about 5 years ago when I was someone said, oh, you should read the original Weapon X, because I never had. And yeah, it's so the way it's framed, because you don't really see much of Wolverine's side of it. It's almost told exclusively from the scientist's side.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end, when there's the inevitable couple of issues, I think it's over 4 issues, where Wolverine breaks free of the mind control, breaks free of his restraints, and then goes on a killing rampage. That's a horror film. He is basically Jason Voorhees in the last few issues of this comic, and it is fucking amazing. He is so intimidating. He's such a force of nature. This thing that it's a typical like creation turns on the creator story, but because he's Wolverine, you already know a lot about the character. And you know a lot about how he thinks and what he can do when he gets in that rage, you know, the berserker mode that he goes into sometimes. You know what he's capable of. And to allow him just to be set free on this contingent of people that have completely fucked him and completely ruined his life and completely taken away any chance he had of being somewhat normal, even though he's a mutant. It's just incredible to watch. And it's a weird comparison, but it's like a Friday the 13th part 7 or something, you know, a really late version where you're purely just behind the killer. You're just behind Wolverine massacring everyone for what they've done to him. And I just think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I don't want to be, you know, just so stupid to say, you know, it was really fucking cool to see Wolverine kill all these people. But at the same time, it was really fucking cool to see Wolverine killing all those people.
Hell yes.
It like I said, it really hammers home just the pure anger that is like Logan's personal demon almost, you know? Doesn't he have also another arc where he battles with alcoholism?
No, true fact, Wolverine cannot get drunk.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind. He's got too fast of a metabolism because of his healing factor or whatever.
He can get drunk. It just takes a lot.
A shitload to do it.
Anywhere near as long.
And then he never gets a hangover anyway.
Yeah. That makes sense. No, thinking of somebody else for that storyline. Probably a DC hero or something.
It's all good.
My role is to be the guy who doesn't know anything about comics, so you know.
Yeah.
It just shows really the pure anger, the demon within him, as it were, that he battles with throughout a lot of his just everything. You know, it's a key part of his character, but at the same time, it's also something that he struggles to deal with. And like you look at Old Man Logan, like we did a while ago. And that's exactly, you know, what the end result of all that is he's finally killed that within him, and it's kind of, you know, he's de-characterized himself. He's taken away what made him himself, you know?
He took away what made him marketable.
Well, that too.
But, yeah. God, I kind of wish I had read this back when it came out, but at the same time, I don't think I would have been old enough to appreciate it.
Yeah, probably not.
I mean, I would have literally been 6 years old.
You would have had nightmares.
Oh, no, dude. I was raised on horror movies.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
I'm named after a horror movie.
Very true.
Well, character from a horror movie itself. Nope, you got me. My real name is Friday the 13th.
Oh, damn. Really?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a cool name. That's the coolest name I've ever heard, dude. Your name is Friday the 13th.
Jason, tell the truth. Your real name is Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, goddamn.
I think the comparison is up though for this.
It is
this run of comics being like a horror film, just because there's so little dialogue as well. It's, I mean, there's a few between the scientists, but when you're just focusing on Wolverine and what he's going through, they're always saying it from like, oh, they put like, basically they put an off switch on Wolverine, and when they turn him off, it just collapses outside naked in the snow after he's gone through this test where he kills a lot of wolves. And like, he's lying there covered in this gore and this blood, and all the scientist says when it's finished is just, he goes, well, we'll see if he can endure the night. And that's it.
Yeah, that was, they went through a lot to dehumanize him. And that's, I think that's why it felt so fucking triumphant, you know, when he finally starts remembering who he is. And I mean, when he finally actually does talk, it's kind of almost miraculous in a way, because he not so long ago was just a mindless drone.
Yeah, that's actually something I really love about this run, is that, and this is something I definitely wouldn't have got, you know, when I was a child reading it. I would have thought it was cool, but I wouldn't have quite understood the nuances of it, which is, they make a big point of saying, like, this is what Wolverine is thinking. Well, they call him Logan, but this is what Logan is thinking. This is what he's imagining. This is what he's dreaming about. And basically, in the last issue, they revealed that his escape wasn't actually true. It was just a fantasy that they created. It was just something that they were like trying to use to rob him of his hope, and seeing, you know, this is what would have happened if he had escaped. And then at the very, very, very end issue, you know, of the very, very, very last page, his actual real escape starts to happen, and it plays out exactly like the like his fantasy, like his dream was. And what is so good about that is, if it had just been a pure animal instinct, a pure animalistic Wolverine, he would have been a drone. He would have been, you know, a weapon. But it's only because of his human side, and it's only because of his desire to escape, his desire to be more than just this weapon, this machine, this animal, that he could escape at all. That he had the drive and the desire and the want to escape from it, the want to get revenge, the want to come free again. And again, that kind of is a parallel to We Three again.
Mm-hmm.
That it's the desire to be free, the desire to want something, just any desire to be more than just a weapon, that is ultimately what led them to become free and become not just a mindless animal anymore. It's what led them to be who they are, or who they turn into.
Yeah.
And I think it's really good that the end of the story, it's just like a lot of it's left up to the reader to decide. Because what's good about that is, really, you don't know how much of it was trauma, how much of it was mental conditioning, how much of it was the process of the adamantium bonding. What was the exact point where Wolverine lost his memories? You know, you don't know, you don't quite know where it happened. But you know it happened at some point, because obviously after the fact, Wolverine doesn't have his memories anymore of his life prior to the adamantium. But you're never quite sure where that point occurs, and they don't explain everything. They go like, well, here's the point where it ends. So after that, you know, how did he escape? You don't know for sure. How did he get to, you know, being part of the X-Men? You don't know for sure, which is something that unfortunately has become kind of lost in comics, especially comics, because it's an ongoing medium. But there's a tendency to just over-explain everything, and there's a tendency to just like, oh, here's how Wolverine got this thing, or here's how Steve Rogers made this thing, and you know, there's a tendency to just over-explain and over-explain. And I think that robs a lot of the mystique, to use a pun, of some of the characters. And it robs a lot of gravitas. And I mean, that's why Wolverine is cool, in my perspective, is because there's a lot of unknowns about him. And that's how it should be. And normally when you have an origin story, it kind of ruins that a little bit. A particular example, not from comics, but from movies, is Boba Fett in Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Completely ruined by telling his origin story. He had no mystery left. He had no teeth. He had no gravitas or mystique. And I think that has happened to Wolverine since then.
Yeah.
A lot of his backstory is ripped.
Let's face facts, he got overexposed.
Yeah, absolutely. But this was a story where that didn't happen, because even though it was an origin story, even though it was explaining where his adamantium came from and why he doesn't have any memories, they explained very little surrounding that story. Look, so after and before, they didn't explain anything, almost. It was just the process of how he got these powers, or how he got his skeleton. And that's it. And so that keeps a lot of his mystique. That's because of how, you know, how he was able to escape and where this desire to escape came from. So I think it's really well written, particularly in the format that it was done in as well. I thought it was great.
Well, and there was another parallel in Weed 3 that kind of interested me. In Weed 3, they were only interested in hurting those who wanted to hurt them, you know? They would only, you know, fight if people, you know, brought the fight to them. And in Weapon X, you see that Wolverine won't kill, like, he wouldn't kill Carol Hines when she was right there in front of him.
Yep.
Because she was just, you know, another drone kind of thing. She wasn't heading this project. She was just a cog in the machine.
She wasn't a threat, I think.
Yeah, that too. Thing. It's like, she may have hurt him, but she wasn't the one saying how to hurt him, you know?
Exactly.
And that, she stood absolutely no threat. She was unarmed. She'd just gotten thrown off a fucking balcony.
It didn't break her neck. That was the impressive part.
Yeah. But yeah, Dick, you got any other thoughts on this?
Overall, this just was a whole new level of, I didn't understand exactly. I've not read very many comics, so I've not seen all the different formats and stuff that they can be put in and different, you know, ways that you can tell a story through them. And I've been digging a lot of the long form stuff that we've been reading and stuff like that. I read Preacher, for example, although I wasn't around for that episode, unfortunately.
Yeah.
You know, we had Transmetropolitan, which was an amazing long form read. And I like really long series like that. So it was really appealing and interesting to me to see this sort of bite sized sort of story chunk kind of format, and yet still tell a good amount of story through it. But I think it's been said multiple times, I don't think if it was paced any other way, I don't think if it was stretched out over like two issues even, it would have the same sort of impact as it did. I think that if you had read it when it had come out as well, the time between issues, releases of Marvel Presents like that, probably would have also added to the whole sort of almost horror movie type feel and the suspense and everything. And I think that really gives this storyline the breadth and respect that it needs to be as serious as it is.
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
You know, and it's just really good. It shows me why people really like comics, because it appealed to me in that sort of, this is an interesting storyline sort of way. It really gripped me, because I've always thought that most comics are, you know, going to be these classic sort of, you know, hero saves the day kind of a thing. And I've been learning that there's a lot of different comics out there that aren't that sort of a vibe, and that there's actually a lot of very interesting storylines even within Marvel's own catalog. And so it's refreshing to see that an origin story, something that's important to any character ever, was treated this way, to be given the permission to basically be unique in a sense. That's what really is really appealing to me. It's almost like the same way that they showed Doctor Doom and the Doom Strange, his origin story there, with putting the mask on and the mysticism and everything and all that.
Yeah. That's one thing we're trying to teach you through this show, is how many subjects and ideas can be tackled in comics, and that it doesn't need to just be, you know, superhero versus supervillain. Like we see, you know, played out so much on the big screen. And I think actually that's one point where the X-Men films did it better than Marvel's, was actually in Wolverine's origin story, trying to keep it so close to the comic. And at the same time, not have it be like, oh, we built him to beat the Nazis. No, it's, we built him because we're pricks.
Jason is referring to X-Men 2.
Yeah.
The origin story in that, which is, like I said earlier, is actually pretty spot on. The change, like the name, like Stryker wasn't ever part of the Weapon X program in the comic books. He was just, you know, they basically condensed him and the professor's role in from the comic book in the movie, which I actually think is really good, because Brian Cox is a great actor, and Stryker, he was a perfect casting. Unfortunately, for this episode of Back Issues, I happened to watch X-Men 2 and X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Why?
Because I thought that, well, I'm reading a comic, and so I want to see how it's handled in a different medium.
Okay.
So I figured, X-Men 2, good film.
Yeah.
Went and watched it again. Still pretty good, you know? It's a little bit dated, but as a movie, it's really good. Wolverine's origin, they get it spot on. In that they don't overplay it. It's almost like they just took the comic and made it into a 5-minute short, and just put little scenes throughout the film in flashback, and that is literally all you need.
Oh yeah.
Fortunately, X-Men Origins Wolverine took the concept, stretch it out for 90 minutes. Threw in a load of characters who don't make sense, and then had a CGI Patrick Stewart come out at the end and ruin the entire thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. And the fucks up Deadpool. How do you fuck up Deadpool? The Sony's goddamn mouth shut. Jesus Christ, I hate that film.
I think we all do.
It just goes a long way to say that when you have a great idea, and you try and translate it to another medium, I think less is more sometimes, especially with Wolverine. If you make his story a part of a bigger story, he's always better. When you make him front and center, it's shit. And especially if you have stupid tail pitch throwing cards like a twat. Stop it.
Please. And please, Fox, for the love of God, do not adapt Origin.
No. Oh, Jesus, no. Stop trying to do the Phoenix Saga. You fucked it up once. Don't do it again.
Please. But anyway, yeah,
that's a little bit off track. As a comic book, Weapon X, fantastic. I thought it was great.
And can we take a second to just appreciate the grittiness of the art? I mean, it was Wolverine tearing things up, but the art was so spot on. Like, the images that went through Wolverine's head during the conditioning process, like, all the pain he was in and how he saw himself, that image sticks in my mind still. It's this bloody, visceral... I don't think they could have really gotten away with it in the main Wolverine title. So they put it here, and it worked.
Now, it was almost bordering on body horror for me, like with all these stuff sticking out of him.
And yeah.
The machinery that he got put on him, and when he bursts through the door at the end, or near the end, sorry. When he bursts through the door and he's like in full on berserker mode with all these wires sticking out of him and his claws extended, and he's just yelling and got this bloodlust. It just looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about the art too is that just the way that the line work is done, it's all sort of, it's hyper realism in a way, almost. Like it's not super realistic, because obviously Logan is not, you know, your standard sort of human stature, or you know, his hair is not, you know, what I'm trying to get at here is, can you edit that part out, by the way?
Nah, fuck it.
Okay, fine.
You fuck up, you do it live.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. But no, like, just the art style. It's not so much hyper-realism that I'm trying to get at. It's just, it's so stylized and so... So just, you know, it's very much... It very much matches the tone of the story. And I like the way that the inking's done. The coloring is very nice, and the shadow work and everything. Just overall, it's very done very vibrantly, and the line work really lends itself to the overall feeling of the story. Yeah, that sounded smart in my head.
No, I'm just looking at one specific sequence over and over again, just because it was so good. When Wolverine cut off the professor's hand. That was just too good. He's walking out with a, you know, just a stump gushing blood.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he's lost so much blood on the page that really he should have been dead a long time ago. But this is comics, you can, you know, do that kind of thing. I love that scene where he's just laying there, you know, kill him, holding this ragged fucking stump.
Everything about this comic is really brutal.
Yeah, and that's the thing that's great about it. It's not very deep. There's nothing really to look into. It's just what you see is what you get, you know? You're going to get a gritty story. You're going to get a good bit of blood. You're going to see Wolverine cut a bunch of people up.
I can appreciate that as well. There's something in the... how simple it is, but also, well, sorry, how simple it appears to be. Obviously, it's like, oh yeah, he's just getting his claws, and he's a violent animal. But actually, underneath that, it's actually really, I think I said this word before, but it's a lot more subtle than I gave it credit for when I read it for the first time. So I just think it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I just keep thinking about that one fact. It's like, you know, we've done so many comics where we've wanted to find depth to the story. I felt it was fun just to, like, here's a one you can just dick off with, you know? Just have fun, read it for what it is. Don't worry about having to actually think. But yeah, it was a good read. I'm quite happy I read that again.
Yeah, it's definitely a very solid storyline. I'm glad that I read that as well. Definitely gives me a little more insight into exactly, you know, how pivotal that sort of origin for him is in explaining a lot of his behavior in other storylines.
Then I like reading, you know, Wolverine stories from before he got to be the, you know, Marvel's biggest character, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Because, I mean, back then, they let people play loosely with him, you know? There wasn't this rigid freaking set of contradicting events that was played off as an origin for Wolverine, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
It was mostly unexplored territory. But yeah, I don't know, I think this is our second Wolverine episode.
Yeah, we had Old Man Logan.
Which is kind of good. It's kind of funny, it's like we're doing the beginning point and end point of Wolverine, we're just doing them in the opposite order.
We're also kind of picking the offbeat sort of storylines as well. the not so much, you know, core big era of Wolverine, as it were, but the comfier storylines.
Yeah, and this definitely was comfy. It would just sit back, have a smoke, and be like, huh, Wolverine's cutting people up again.
Oh, he decapitated a bear. Wonderful.
How have we gone this long without talking about that? He decapitates a fucking bear.
In a second. In 1 second.
Oh, just so good. One quick freaking slash, and the bear's head just goes flying. Yeah. I mean, he also killed a pack of wolves and stared down, what was it, a Siberian tiger?
Right, yep. And he kills a lot of soldiers. Like, an absurd amount.
Yeah, it's just, there's so much violence in this comic. But yeah, cuts the head off a bear. They would not let them get away with that in the main Wolverine title, I guarantee it.
Decapitating a bear? Yeah, nah. That would not fly.
It would offend the kids. But I gotta say it. Is it me, or did they turn Wolverine into a giant pussy when they started overexposing him?
Well, I guess it's because they tried to humanize him or give him depth. But, like, the thing that they didn't quite get is that Wolverine's depth doesn't come from, oh, you have to humanize him. Wolverine's depth comes from he's got this completely fucked up and mysterious past, which automatically makes him interesting. He's got the best powers ever. He can heal, and he's got adamantium claws. And, like, they don't need to give him all this, like, pathos and this, oh, he killed his first love, and then he went into the woods in Canada and became this weird hermit and tried killing himself by becoming part of every army in the world, or whatever. You don't need all that stuff. Wolverine's an interesting character because he's mysterious. Stop talking about his past, dicks. Let him be.
Yeah, I mean, they killed the mystery. They killed, you know, he was supposed to be the quiet loner who wouldn't tell you this shit about himself. But it's just like, no, we'll just tell you the story anyway. Fuck you, man. Wolverine was better when he had mystery. Oh, wait, now he's dead.
Now he's dead.
Yeah, we've got this fucking X-23 second-rate female Wolverine clone running around in a variation of the yellow and blue. Just fuck right off with it.
I mean, obviously they'll be back at some point. But still, I don't know. It seems like, I think because we're talking about both the beginning and the end of a character, it seems when you get to a certain point and the character is considered to be like overexposed or whatever, the natural reaction from both the main two, but especially Marvel, is to just kill them off. And then bring him back. So what's the point?
Yeah.
The only character that's not done that with is Uncle Ben. And I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Well, the original Captain Marvel as well. They've tried bringing him back, like, as a Skrull and shit. They always just kill him right back off anyway.
Technically Gwen Stacy, because there's always been clones or whatever, but still.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. Marvel, just
what if we make Uncle Ben Spider-Man? He comes back to life and becomes Spider-Man.
Oh, that happened in one alternate universe, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah,
he wound up becoming Spider-Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Marvel really doesn't understand the idea of moral bankruptcy.
What if Thor was Spider-Man and a black transgender woman?
Probably been done.
Or Marvel or will just got be. A new idea. Yeah. I'm sorry.
We copyrighted, motherfuckers.
I don't think we can copyright their IP.
Fuck you anyway.
I'm just waiting now. Just give it like 2 years and Spider-Man will be Thor and a trans black woman. And he throws the hammer with his web throw. Web throw!
Oh, God. Why? Why would you even bring this idea up, Dick?
Because I enjoy watching Marvel burn to the ground.
So do I will admit. Honestly, I don't want them to burn to the ground. I just want them to burn bad enough to realize that they're fucking themselves over, you know?
I want them to burn to the ground after they completely fucked up Spider-Man and Mary Jane's relationship by making a deal with the goddamn devil. I'm still not. It's almost 10 years ago, and I'm still not over it. Fuck you, Marvel.
Fuck you, Dan Slott. Wait, what?
Fuck you, Dan Slott. Fuck you, Stan Lee. Stop being in cameos.
But yeah, we've gotten so off course here. Fuck it, let's ride it to the edge. But yeah, I'm also glad that this Weapon X storyline hasn't been retconned fully, you know? They've retconned bits and pieces, but they've always kept the core intact.
I think the biggest one was all this secondary mutation stuff, where it was the reveal that Wolverine had bone claws prior to his adamantium claws.
Well, that was before the secondary mutation shit.
Yeah, and then I think his mother healing factor was like the reason they chose him for that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But he had bone claws under there the whole time and nobody knew it.
Yeah, that was just amazing.
Yeah. I'm sorry, as if a dude with a healing factor isn't badass enough. No, he had to still have some sort of claws.
But I always preferred him without that as well, because, like, I feel it's better for the character, like, oh my god, how am I going to deal with these things that shoot out of my hands every, you know, 30 seconds and cause excruciating levels of pain, as opposed to, like, oh, they're just metal now instead of bone.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm glad they did give Wolverine bone claws. Because could you imagine how it would have worked out if he didn't have claws without the adamantium? He just would have, like, picked up a fucking big knife or something and run around looking like a third-rate Shatterstar. Which is bad, because Shatterstar is already a third-rate character.
Very true.
So it's like, I can appreciate the bone claws because they kept him from a worse fate. Oh, it could be even worse. They could have had him picking up guns and turn into, you know, Punisher with a healing factor.
That'd be awful.
Wolverine kind of is characterized by his claws. Dick, question for you.
Yes.
MVC2, bone claws or metal?
Bone claws, he's a lot faster and his combo game's better.
Yeah, son.
That's not even a question.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful for both of them because we get two Wolverines in that game because of both Bone Claws and regular Adamantium Claws. So, you know, for that reason alone, they're perfectly okay with me. Because what's a game without two Wolverines? Not as awesome as a game with two Wolverines.
But three Wolverines would have been a little bit overkill.
Tell that to the Deadpool video game.
I don't know, God. Man. I mean, if there is symbiote Wolverine.
No. Just no. You're lucky you're on the other side of the country or I'd beat you for that.
I'm sorry, yeah. I'm a little far with that.
Well, folks, we kind of really meandered at the end, and thank you for dealing with it. We hope we at least made you laugh or think, you know, Dick is an idiot.
Oh, they probably think that already.
But this has been another episode of Back Issues, and we'll see you next week.
Later.